Hi, everyone, and welcome to Inside AWAI. Our session this week is How to Get Started as a Well-Paid Writer. My name is Rebecca Matter. Katie Aik will be joining us soon, and I'm also joined by our special guest today, Joshua Boswell. Hi, Joshua.
Hi, Rebecca.
So the reason we did this session – oh, go ahead.
No, I was going to say thanks for having me on. I appreciate it very much.
I can't imagine asking anybody else. This isn't a question that I get from AWAI members daily. It's the one that I respond to quite a bit on Facebook as well as over email. But I found AWAI. I'm so excited. There are so many paths. But how do I actually get started? So we thought we would jump on for a session of Inside AWAI to walk through that. I can't think of anyone better to teach it than Joshua, and he's going to introduce himself and tell you a little bit about his story. But he wants that in your shoes. If you're just getting started and trying to figure out what the next steps are, he was there, and he has coached and mentored so many AWAI members since then to follow in his successful footsteps, and he's boiled it down to a very clear plan. So he'll go through all of his roadmap for you, and then at the end, we're going to open it up. So if you have questions, go ahead and type them in the Q&A, whether they are about what he's covering during his session or anything else. You know, we're going to stay on and answer any questions that you have. Inside AWAI is all about us just being accessible and learning from you and listening to you and answering questions to get you moving forward. So with that, Josh, I'm going to hand it over to you, and then I'll be over in the Q&A if you need me.
Okay, great. Thank you. Okay, so knowing that some of you are here for the first time, I'm going to do just a quick, brief introduction of Rebecca and Katie, and then I'll tell you a little bit about my story as a lead-in to these seven steps that I'm going to walk you through. And you might think, seven steps to get started as a well-paid writer, that seems kind of simple. And it is really simple. And so we're going to walk through seven things that you ought to do. First thing, right off the bat, to lay a great foundation for getting started as a well-paid writer. So first of all, who's who? Here we have Katie Yackel, and as it says right here, she's the executive director and co-founder of AWAI. And I'll tell you who Katie really is. Katie is one of the most generous, sincere people who has worked, I mean, tirelessly for what are we going on now, 20 years or so?
It'll be 20 years close next year. We're at 19 right now.
Yeah, 19 years. And you know, all the beginning stories is her starting out and the company starting out small. And really, to her credit, it was a great deal of her persistence and effort in the beginning years that really made it possible for us to be on this call today. So the one thing that I want you to take away from that is that Katie absolutely loves the members. And Rebecca does too, but I got something else to say about her. So she loves the members, and she really has an intense desire to want you guys to succeed. And that is unusual in our world today, and so it's cool to be part of it. Now, here's Rebecca. She's president of AWAI. And a fun story I'll tell you about Rebecca really quick. And, Rebecca, you cannot interrupt. Or I guess you can because you're the president. When I first started, I literally, and I'll tell more of this in just a minute, but I was a couple hundred thousand dollars in debt. I saw this opportunity for copywriting and to be a well-paid writer. I borrowed money from my father-in-law, and I went to this event with Bob Bly and some others. And it was all about learning how to market yourself as a writer. And I'm sitting there in the lobby. You probably remember this, Rebecca. We told this story before, but I'm sitting there in the lobby, and you finally came over and said, well, tell me a little bit about your story. And so I was starting like, well, I got six children, like a couple hundred thousand dollars in debt. I borrowed money from my father-in-law to be here. And your face goes from white to flush to aghast to astonished. And finally you're like, oh, my gosh, we have got to help you find some clients. And I just remember – the intense, sincere energy that you had in that moment of really wanting to help me succeed. And that has stuck with me all these years. It's why, I mean, the combination of you and Katie, and I'll get on to my points here in just a second, but the combination of you and Katie and what you collectively have done and the sincerity that you have, the genuine people that you are, the generosity that you have, is really been a huge reason why I've been able to succeed over the last 10 years in this writing business. And I think that it is why, even after 10 years, even after doing so many things that I've done with major corporations, I continue to like advocate and be excited about AWAI just because of who you guys are. So That's who Rebecca and Katie really are.
Thank you for saying that. But that, I mean, that is all on you. And as you guys are going to see in a second, to finish out that story, Joshua then, so I freak out thinking, oh my gosh, this guy has to spend $5,000 and he has all this debt and all these kids. Like, what are we going to do? Took it on like a personal, like it was my issue. But it is. You put a lot of trust in AWAI. We take that very seriously, but we didn't have to with Joshua because at the end, later that year, he cleared the six figure in his first year. And now this is not the norm, but he did do exactly what he learned at this event and put it to use. This guy works hard. He got out there and he hustled and he hit six figures before the end of the year. So I had my attention focused on the wrong guy. I should have been working on somebody who might not have hit it out of the park so fast, but we're proud of you and just so grateful to have you keep paying it forward to our members. I mean, it's been incredible.
Well, let's start some of that pay forward because I've got these 7 points that I want to cover, so I'm going to dive right in. So to lay the foundation for this, I want to tell a very personal story quickly, and you'll see the point of it here as we get to the end. So what I want you to do is get a sense. This is not a writing story. You'll think, what is he telling the story for? But there really is a point. There's a method to my madness. And what you'll see here is you'll see a process that I went through, and it's a process that you should consider going through in order to gain clarity, in order to gain confidence in how you move forward, okay? So here's the story. I lived in the Netherlands for a couple years, and I had this dream of having a big family. Now, that's not everybody's dream, but that was my dream. I wanted to have a big family. Oh, this is me, yeah. I had this dream of having a big family, and so when I came back, I started looking for someone to marry because that's an important part of having a big family. And I dated a whole bunch, and every time I'd date somebody and meet someone, I'd think, okay, is this the girl that I could spend the rest of my life and the rest of eternity with? And I was always like making these pros and cons lists and stressing about it and thinking about it and not quite sure what I should do. And then I'd go on another date and then another date. And then I'd like go out and get another date. And I'd be like, oh, I don't know. I don't know. And I'd go to bed at night and I'd pray and I'd stress and I'd worry. And I'd be like, I'm just kind of wringing my hands like, oh man, this is taking forever. I really want to get married. And then I woke up one morning. I spent all night crying and praying and dreaming and scheming, and I woke up the next morning and I got this phone call from a friend of mine, and she said, hey, I know this girl, do you want to go on a blind date? And I was like, okay, sure. So I went and I met Margie on a blind date. This was on a Friday night, and on Saturday night, Friday night, we hit it off, and I felt such a great, I was still kind of unsure and uneasy, but I was like, oh man, this is really cool. Like, she's amazing. Like, all the things that I want in a wife and in a best friend and in a mom and in a spouse. Like, oh my goodness. Like, she seems to have these great qualities at first glance. So we went out again on Saturday. We went out again on Sunday, and we didn't see each other on Monday. And I woke up Tuesday morning and I decided she was the gal for me, and we got engaged Tuesday night. So after, now before you're like, your jaw dropped, yes, that was Friday.
I told you he moved fast.
Got engaged. Yeah, exactly. but here's the thing. After we made that decision, no more dating, it eliminated the confusion. We now started focusing our efforts. Okay, we got to put a wedding together. How are we going to do it? We got to do two receptions, one in Utah, one in Arizona. And all of a sudden, this natural planning process started to come about when we recognized that we had made a decision and we were able to move forward, okay? And now almost 21 years later, we've known each other for 21 years. We've almost been married for 21. And we've got 11 children and, sort of like a, so far, happily ever after story. Now, I want to relate that really quick to writing, and then we'll go through these 7 steps. And you'll see there's a pattern here. And what I see often in writers is when they first get started, they find an ad, they get in touch with AWAI at one level or another, whatever it is, and they're like, all right, this writing thing, I want to do it. I want to do this writing thing. So where do I start? And what they do is they start dating different ideas, so to speak. Like, oh, well, maybe I should do B2B. No, maybe I should do B2C. Maybe I should go into the health. Maybe it should be finance. Maybe I should buy this program. I don't know what to do. Should I go to this event? Maybe I should do this activity. I don't know. So it was this, it's this moment where there's not a lot of clarity, and that clarity, that confusion breeds inactivity. And so consequently, they're not able to get started making a good living as a writer because they're constantly, you know, kind of thrashing around, as it were, looking for what they should do next, okay? Well, what I want to do is I want to give you, in 7 steps, I want to give you the kind of clarity that I had, that when Margie and I got engaged, everything else, the path cleared, was wide open in terms of our marriage prospects and who we're going to spend the rest of our life with and what we needed to do in the next 60, 90, 120 days. Like, all of those things became crystal clear. And I want to give you that kind of clarity in these 7 little steps. So let's jump into the very first thing that I think you should do, okay? Yes, overcome, I covered that part. Okay, very first thing. Now, you've heard some of these things, so stay with me because there's going to be some things that you haven't heard. But the very first thing, the most important thing, is to set a goal and describe your reason why for having that goal. My goal was to have a great marriage and a large family. I won't get into all the different reasons why for that, but that was my goal. I knew what it was. I had perfect clarity on that. And what that goal did, and having a reason why, is it started to give me motion. Now, that's the same with you. If you've just jumped into this and you found AWI and you've discovered that there's this thing called the writer's life and you've got this dream of living that life and having, you know, a lot of clients and getting paid really well, then that's a goal. And I'm going to invite you to fine-tune that goal, make it really specific. Decide exactly how much you want to make in the next year and decide why you want to make that. Decide what that is going to look like and set that parameter down. And when you do, it'll create motion. Now, it'll create, like with my dating, it created, you know, a ton of random motion, but it did create motion. And that's the old saying, like, you can't steer a parked car. If you're just sitting somewhere, it's hard to gain traction. It's hard to gain direction. So that's the very first thing that I'm going to encourage you to do, is set a specific, measurable, written goal with an emotional description about why it's so important to you, okay? The second thing that I want you to do is I want you to identify your strengths. Now, let me just define what a strength is. A strength is something that makes you feel strong. It's not something that you do well. For example, when I started off in business world, for a little while I had a company, and we built custom websites. And I was pretty good. I knew HTML. I learned it. I had a good eye for layout and where things should go and user interface and how people used it. But when I did a website, I felt like I had been run over by a steam truck at the end of the day. I mean, it just exhausted me. By contrast, when even with a hoarse voice, when I do things like this where I'm teaching and being able to interact with great people like you guys, it makes me feel empowered, right? And sometimes when I sit down and write, when I write about certain topics, I feel drained. And then when I write about other topics, I feel alive and invigorated, and it wires me up and makes me happy inside. And so you want to identify what your strengths are. You want to identify what you're good at. And I have a simple exercise for you to do that will help you do this. If you email 20 of your friends, 20 people that you know, and ask them, hey, I was on this webinar the other day with this crazy guy named Joshua. He invited us to talk to 20 of our friends and ask them this question. What do you think that I do that's better than what anyone else in the world does? What do you perceive as my strengths? And just ask them that question, and then let them just answer back. And you'll be amazed. If you ask 20 people, you're going to have 10 or 15 answer back, and they're going to, it's going to be like they were scripted, and they're going to identify these things that they feel you do really well. And it'll make a big impact on your life because you'll be able to have an outside perspective about what your strengths are. Now, why is it important to play to your strengths? The reason you identify your strengths is so you can play to your strengths, and that's important because when we play to our strengths, it naturally mitigates our weaknesses. Okay, let me say that again. When you play to your strengths, it will naturally mitigate your weakness. I remember the old story years ago, Tiger Woods was frustrated, the golfer, the pro golfer. He was frustrated that he was always getting in the sand traps, and he had a hard time getting out of the sand traps. And so he hired a coach to help him get out of the sand traps. And he wanted to get out of the traps, the bunkers, I think is what they're called. And he wanted to get out of the bunkers, And so he practiced, and he got nominally better at getting out of the bunkers. And finally, his coach said, Tiger, this is madness. Quit worrying about the bunker. Quit worrying about the sand trap. If you just focus on your drive, you'll never get in the sand trap. And he goes, oh, yeah. And so that piece of advice allowed him to go on and become, you know, a world-class golfer because he was able to focus on his strengths, and it naturally mitigated his weakness. And that's the same thing for you. So the kinds of strengths you want to look at is, what's your best style of writing? Long copy, short copy, catalog copy? Are you, technologically oriented? Are you good with people and social media? Like, what kind of copy do you like to do? What are ways that you've seen that you're able to persuade people? What do you do that people like and that makes them feel happy and resonate with you? And so you think about all these different kinds of strengths, and some of these will come up as you work with people on those 20 emails I suggested you sent out. So the second thing is, you want to identify your strengths. Now, the third thing, excuse me, I'm going to need a drink. The third thing that you want to do, and this is, if we had to weigh all of these 7 points in the balance and say, this is the most important thing that you should do. This is the fulcrum point. This is your leverage point. This is by far and away the strongest thing that you can do right now in order to create, a great income as a writer, then number three, this would be it. And the reason is because when you choose a niche, it allows you to focus. It's that fulcrum point where Margie and I decided that we were going to be together forever. We were going to be married. And after that, so many other decisions in our life fell away. We didn't have to make them. And it allowed us to get clarity on how we wanted to move forward. And so all the marketing that you do, the way that you present yourself, the kind of writing that you do, being able to cater to your strengths, how much money you make, the kinds of clients that you'll get, et cetera, they all hinge on this decision. And I see people, worry about this and stress about this a lot. And, this is a really, really big thing. Now, here's the thing that I wanted to suggest for you on this point. How do you choose a niche? How do you choose a niche? You look at your strengths. You look at your goals. You'll see that there are a bunch of different niches out there. There are a bunch of different avenues you could take to reach those goals and to play to those strengths. And so you pick one, and you decide to stay focused on it for a year. It's been said of Henry Ford that one of his greatest qualities was the ability to make a decision quickly and then to change that decision slowly. And that's been said about every other great entrepreneur success story that's out there. They have the ability to make a decision quickly, but they change those decisions slowly. And when you decide on a specific niche, whether you've made the perfect 100% best decision or not, when you focus on it for a year, it allows you to master that, right? You learn the fine nuances of it. You become good at it. You become strong at it, and it allows you to move forward at a much faster rate than you could. And you learn how to get the clients and all that kind of stuff. So choosing a niche is really important. Now, there's lots of things I could talk about a niche, but I'm gonna move forward. And just know that this is the fulcrum point. This is a really important thing. And some of you all have questions about this, so I'm gonna let you ask that. And I'm gonna move on. So the next thing that you need, number four, is now that you know who you're going to write to, so what your niche is, and you know what some of your strengths are, and you know what your goals are, now you've got to get the right writing skills in order to meet the needs of that niche. So if you go into the pet industry, for example, in the pet industry, they do a lot of social media. It's kind of, pet owners, they like to talk to each other, and they like to identify themselves. If you want to talk to a winky, wild, and crazy, eclectic group of people, go out and meet a whole bunch of pug dog owners. I mean, holy smackles, those guys really relate to each other, and they love each other, and because they have so many things in common. Well, if you want to write social stuff, social media things, then you've got to get the right skills for that. If you want to go into the financial arena and you want to write long copy persuasive sales letters or video sales letters, then you know the stuff that comes up on online when you see a big long scrolling letter, if you like to write that kind of stuff, then you've got to get the skills and ability to do that. Now, here's where you're blessed. This is where, like, fortune has smiled upon you. And that is that you are connected with AWAI. And they literally have a program for every major industry out there that teaches you the ins and outs and the secrets of writing well for that industry. And so the training, that all the writing training you need is right at your fingertips. You just need to make a decision on what it is. Now, here's the cool part about it. When you decide on a niche and start looking at the writing skills, it gives you a great amount of clarity. A thing that I hear from new writers all the time is, oh man, I get so many offers and so many newsletters and so many people trying to sell me stuff, and I just don't know what to buy or what to do or how to move forward. Well, once you know what your strengths are and what your niche is and what writing skills you need for that, then it's a no-brainer. You've got a plan, and you say, okay, I'm going to focus right there. And it eliminates a lot of the other confusion. You can set that stuff aside for a little bit, okay? So you got to get the writing skills and the training that you need, and you got access to it with AWI. Now, number five is you need to choose a mentor or, in some cases, a coach. A mentor is somebody who sits on the sidelines or up on the mountaintop and you go to from time to time and ask questions. So when I first started, Bob Bly was a mentor of mine. He wasn't, you know, my direct one-to-one coach, but from time to time when I had questions and I had challenges, like, I would reach out to Bob and go, hey, Bob, what about this? And he would distill a bit of wisdom to me from on top of Mount Olympus, and he would help me. That's what a mentor does. A coach is right in the fray. They're right in the thick, the heat of it with you, and they're helping you see what you need to do next. They're meeting with you regularly. They're, you know, helping you know how you move forward, et cetera, et cetera. And you've got to choose who you're going to listen to. Again, so let's go back to the early days, how I got in touch with AWAI. In December of 2004, I had a business collapse. So my company that I had at that time went belly up, and I had no income. And so immediately after that, I, of course, started fishing around trying to find out what I was going to do to make a living and to feed my family and my six children. So, like, I started subscribing to everything under the sun. I think the day that the AWAI sales letter came to me telling me about their program, I'm pretty sure I was subscribed to somewhere in the neighborhood of 25 or 30 different newsletters, all these different voices inside my head. And inside my inbox, not inside my head. So all these different ideas and thoughts pulling me this way and that way. And when I decided that, oh, hey, writing is what I'm going to do, I turned all that off. I just shut it all down. And I focused on one specific organization, one specific voice. And you should do the same thing, okay? You really should do the same thing. So you got to decide who you're going to listen to and who's going to be your leader. Let me just say this, and I'll move on to the sixth point. Get another cough drop. Every success story in the world, in the history of the world, is accompanied by the presence of a mentor or a coach. Everyone. There are no exceptions to this. None. And so I think that if you really want to be successful, you got to decide who you're going to listen to, okay? Who's going to be your coach? Who's going to be your mentor?
Can I make a quick comment on that, Joshua?
Yes, please.
As far as a mentor or coach, you know, like Joshua said, mentors kind of appear. You know, you'll have many mentors in your life as a writer. Sometimes it'll be a client. Sometimes it'll be another writer. Sometimes it might be an expert that you meet at one of our events. You'll just start working together, you know. It just happens. The coach is someone that you can actually hire. For many of you, though, you know, right now, just starting out, that's not the first thing you're going to want to do, because your experience is what the coach is going to take to help guide you. There are many types of coaches, and I just don't want everyone going out Googling copywriting coach, because you're going to find a bunch of junk. Unfortunately, that is an industry within the industry. You know, copywriting has become such a major profession now, and there are – the opportunity is so big that, of course, there are people who are going to want to take advantage to create a business, not take advantage of you, but take advantage of that opportunity. And so there's a lot of people out there. So you're going to want to know, you know, who is a good coach, and it depends where you are. You don't need a coach to pick a niche. You don't need a coach right. to get started. You don't need a coach to take the accelerated program. That piece comes a little bit later. You know, this is, if you think about Joshua's seven steps, that piece comes after you've decided, okay, I want to be a copywriter. I want to be in the health space. I've taken the accelerated program. I've picked my market, what he's going through now. I've tried a couple things. I've got stuff I can give a coach that they can give me feedback on now. That's when you hire, like, the one-on-one coach. And there are other opportunities within AWI. I mean, many of you have, I'm sure, heard at this point about the tour that Joshua is doing. That's a form of coaching. It's not necessarily the one-on-one, but you will eventually find mentors. You will likely hire a coach at some point. I just don't want everyone rushing out Googling coach and jumping in, because you don't need that just
yet.
Yeah.
You know, Rebecca, I'm so glad you brought up that point, because it is really vital that you come to the table with something, with direction, with some decisions, because too oftentimes people think coaches are going to solve all their problems and do stuff for them. So they go and hire somebody.
Make decisions,
and they're like,
for them. Yeah.
Right.
They're not
going
to make your decisions.
They won't make your decisions. What they will do is help direct decisions that you're making. And so, yeah, very good. We could talk more about that, but I think that you've nailed it. So good insight. Thank you. Of course.
Thank you.
So number six is you're going to choose a marketing method. And what I mean by this is that, you know, when you've got writing skills and you know who you're talking to and what niche you're going after and you know what you're wanting to do, then you've got to decide on how you're going to approach the potential clients, right? You can't just wake up one morning and go, I'm now, I mean, you can say this, but, you know, I'm now a professional writer and you know, the door's open and everybody can come and start hiring me. You're going to have to find a way to attract their attention, let them know you're in business, and convince them that you're the guy or the gal that they should hire. And so you need some marketing methods. Let me give you some examples of different marketing methods. When I first started, I didn't have any money, and social media wasn't really around back then. And so I had a phone line, and I had a free long distance through Vonage. And so I decided the thing that I could do in my circumstances was to make cold calls. That was my marketing method. That was my sales method. So I got on the phone every day, and I made a couple hours worth of phone calls. Was it glamorous and cool and fun? No. But it was a method. It was a way to get the ball rolling and to find clients. Well, nowadays, there's lots of different ways to do this. Like, you could run social media campaigns. You could do word-of-mouth campaigns. You could do email marketing off to different businesses and companies. You could get hired for a company and then leverage that into a freelance gig. Like, there's lots of different things that you could do that are really not very complicated if you know the steps for doing them. And I think that there are two different ways to go about this, two major categories, and there's really only like 10 different significant marketing methods. And the cool part about it is they all work. And this goes back to this focus thing. You just decide on one that you're comfortable with, whether that's, you know, going and speaking in front of live audiences or sending out emails to companies or doing good old-fashioned direct mail or whatever it is. You just decide on a way that you're going to approach this, and then you stay focused on it, you master it, and you move forward with it. I was terrible when I first started making cold calls. I was terrible at it, but I persisted with it, and I got better at it, and then I got efficient at it, and then I got really, really good at it, and so it turned out to be okay for me. Well, I'm not saying that's what everyone should do, but I'm giving that as an example. So, all right, so you got to choose a marketing method, and again, that choice, that focus will allow you an enormous amount of freedom of thinking, because now every time you see an event, a promotion, an opportunity, you can filter it through some of these things. Hey, does that fit within my set of strengths? Is that within my chosen niche? Do I have the writing skills to meet that opportunity? Is this the way that I'm approaching people, and should I learn more about social media through this program because that's my chosen marketing niche? So can you see how it gives a great amount of clarity? It just really cleans things up when you make some of these key decisions. Okay, and then the last one. And this one will seem kind of obvious. The last one is once you've decided on some of these things, it's to get started. Get started today. Don't wait. Start immediately. When, you know, if you're at the point where you don't have a clear, concise written goal with a reason why you want that thing, then start today. You know, map out 10, 15, 20, 30 minutes and sit down and write your goal out. Don't wait till tomorrow. Start today. And I put on here that you need to start by taking small steps. And I can't emphasize how very, very important this is. Small little steps are the thing that wins the game. I think that we have been sort of preconditioned or society nowadays, we go online and we hear about all these amazing success stories that happen, quote unquote, overnight. And we have sort of overnight success envy, and we want our writing businesses to, like, we want to get in, read through a few things in the accelerated copywriting course or whatever program it is that we have, and then we want to, you know, wake up the next morning and be like the heroes of the writing world. And that's just not the way it happens. It happens through small, consistent effort. Small, consistent steps, and doing something little every single day. I heard an interview by Jack Canfield that he wrote Chicken Soup for the Soul. And, you know, he said that one of the secrets to the success of that book, because at first it was not widely accepted. It was like a flop when they first published it. And he said that the secret was every day for like 2 years, they decided that they were going to do something, a little something, to market that book. An interview here, a phone call there, a press release, you know, an appearance on a radio show, sending out some free copies, going to a book signing. Like, every day they did something. And over a couple of years, the accumulation of that effort resulted in what we know as the Chicken Soup for the Soul franchise today, where they've got, you know, dozens of books, millions and millions of copies in print. And, you know, it's really blessed and helped an entire generation of people to think more clearly and to feel better and, you know, all that kind of stuff. So how did that happen? That didn't happen by an overnight success. It happened through little tiny small steps. And the beautiful part about it is sometimes we look at writing and we go, oh, I could never write for a huge company like Google or Agora or AWI or whatever. And maybe right now you couldn't. But if you took a bunch of tiny little steps that were comfortable for you, you would grow into that kind of a writer and it would be no problem for you, right? So begin today. Start right now and take a bunch of little steps. And as you take those little steps, then more steps will appear in front of you and you'll be able to consistently and persistently move forward. And as you move forward, you'll look back and you're like, man, I got a lot of traction. I covered a lot of ground, and it sort of snuck up on me. And now I got this client, I got that client, and it definitely can happen for you. So Rebecca, those are the seven steps. I should have a slide here at the end to summarize, but I can go through them real quick. So step number one is set a goal and articulate your reason why. Make it emotional, make it juicy, make it fun. You know, activate all your imagination and all the senses inside of you. Number two is identify your strengths. Reach out to other people. Sit down, you know, take some personality tests. Read some books. Reach out to people who know you well and ask them what your strengths are. Decide on a niche. Focus in on a specific industry. By the way, let me give you my definition of a niche. You can write this down. I don't think it's the only definition of a niche. There's a lot of people that interpret this different ways. But here's my definition that I found is very useful for writers. And that is, a niche is a group of people who are relatively easy to contact, who all speak the same business or social jargon and have money to hire you. That's my definition of a niche. So if you find a group of people, you know, like, again, going back to the financial industry, they all talk stocks and bonds and stuff. They want to find writers and they have money to pay. Well, that's a good definition of a niche. So, okay, so number three is you pick a niche. Number four is you get the appropriate writing skills, and I always suggest through one of AWI's programs. Number five is you filter out some of the noise and start zeroing in and listening to one particular source. My suggestion, of course, is to focus in on AWI, and then, you know, over time get a coach to help you. Number six is you're going to choose a marketing method and stick with it. And number seven, you're going to get started today. Today you're going to get started doing little steps. So that's what I got for you, Rebecca. And now I'm happy to answer any questions on anything, whether it's with these seven steps or not.
Well, we have some great, can you advance the slide just one? We have some lots of great questions in the Q&A. First of all, before we jump into that, though, would you mind, I'm getting a lot of questions about the 10-hour tour. So this is the Launch Your Writer's Life in a Day tour that you're doing. Some people who have signed up just want to know, is it the same kind of content that's being covered here? What exactly will people get if they spend 10 hours with you?
Okay, let me summarize this. When I first got started, I went to a number of different events with AWI and with Bob, and I read a lot of stuff, and I tried to figure out how to market myself, and I hired coaches and all that kind of thing. And I got a whole bunch of methods, right, like this big toolbox of things I could do. But what I was looking, and my brain works very linear, systematically, I was really looking for what's the first thing I do, and the second thing I do, the third thing I do, the fourth thing I do, so that I know every step I'm taking is leading me to this writer's life experience, to getting clients, to making good money, right? I didn't want to waste my time. I wanted to do things that were high leverage. I was a couple hundred thousand dollars in debt. I needed to do it. And so after the first year of me doing that, I went back and I started cataloging all the things that I had done. And then over the years, I started interviewing a bunch of other writers that I had talked to that were successful, and I interviewed them and found out what they had done. And I started coming up with this step-by-step process of going from zero, not having, you know, basically anything in terms of clients or, you know, marketing ability or whatever, and going step-by-step through that to creating a situation where you're making – you have clients and you know what to do, and, you know, you're living that writer's life that we talk about. So the one day, over the years, I've taken all that information, I've distilled it down into a package of information that I can hand over to a new writer in a single day. As amazing as that sounds, I can teach this in a single day. And not only that, it's streamlined enough and simple enough that we actually – do many of the steps in our day together. Like you, it's not just come and listen to me. It's let's get in there and actually accomplish this. So when you walk away, you've got this, you've got tangible results. You've got progress in a single day that might otherwise take you 3 or 4 weeks or 3 or 4 months, depending on your schedule. In a day, we knock it out of the park. So that's sort of a summary, and I can give some more specifics if you want, but that's the idea.
That is good. I've got a couple of questions about picking a niche. Before I do that, though, just to stop, whenever I see a stream of questions, and remember, you can write questions about anything. It doesn't necessarily have to just be about this topic. We are talking about getting started today, but this is your opportunity if you have a question for us about AWI, like this one I'm going to answer. I've got two questions that I get in every single one of these. One is, there are so many paths, so many opportunities. Where do I start? Which program do I take? Joshua said it, I'm going to say it again too, it's the accelerated program for six-figure copywriting. If you are new to AWI, if you are new to making a living as a writer, to any form of writing really, that's where you start. There are lots of opportunities, but you want to take that program. And whether you take it in the form of the straight program, which is the accelerated program for six-figure copywriting, or the guided program, which is called the Ultimate Copywriting Companion Series, the only difference, the content is very similar. The only difference is, one, you're doing it on your own. With the companion series, we're literally walking you through it over the course of 10 weeks. The benefit of that is you make sure that you get the skill, that you understand the principles that we're teaching you in the copywriting course, and that you have a definitive time frame so that it's not this, you know, something I might do one day, but rather, no, I'm going to do this in 10 weeks. We're going to get you all the way up to where you're ready to go, to actually start working for clients. Joshua's tour, where does that fall into all of this? If you're taking the accelerated program, yes, keep going through it. Joshua's going to give you that business building piece of it. You've got skills, but you're not really a working writer until people are going to pay you for them. Joshua's job with his tour is to get you where you need to be so that when you return home, you can start reaching out to clients. You have your marketing methods. You have your marketing message. You know who your potential clients are going to be. You know what you're going to say when you call them or reach out to them, however is comfortable for you. But he's going to take you where you need to be, break through any kind of issues with confidence, with I don't want to call people, what am I going to do? Any questions that you have, he is so fantastic at breaking that stuff down for you. So whether you're just starting the accelerated program or you've already finished, definitely go to the tour. I mean, if you can swing it, I definitely think that you should go. We've had amazing success stories come out of it. Now, for those of you asking, though, should I finish the accelerated program if I want to go into, let's say, B2B? I'm seeing a lot of B2B questions, probably because we're talking about B2B the last 2 weeks. Yes, still finish the accelerated program for 6-year copywriting first. Think of it as your foundation in paid mm-hmm. writing, in persuasive writing. No matter what you go into, whether it's speech writing, grant writing, social media, web writing, B2B, travel writing, any kind of writing that you could possibly throw at me right now, even fiction writing, you will be better and more effective if you've taken that program. So no matter which path, take that program and finish that program. So for those of you who've felt paralyzed recently, like, I don't know, there's so many opportunities, which one do I start? Start there. Let everything else go away for now and just focus on that. And for those of you asking about B2B, B2B is an incredible industry. That is where companies, instead of selling to consumers like you and me, they sell to other companies. They expect to pay professional fees. Joshua is in the B2B space. They expect to pay professional fees. There's not a lot of competition. The projects can be quick and great, you know, fees, $1,500, $2,000, $7,500. They're nice, solid projects. Clients need a lot. Every single client that you take on, to make one sale, there's typically 12 to 18 efforts that they need, marketing pieces that they need written to make those sales. So it's definitely a great opportunity. There are over 6 million companies in the U.S. alone. So even if we were to, like, successfully train an incredible number of copywriters every single year, we wouldn't even scratch the surface. So B2B, yeah. Those of you asking, great opportunity. Definitely jump on it. But I do want you to finish the accelerated program before you move in. All of our other programs assume that you have a foundation in persuasive writing, and that's what the accelerated program does. Okay, so now let's get back to niche. We get this question.
Wait, can I throw this just one little comment? Over the last 10 years, I have written for every industry that you've just talked about because I tend to focus on it. I'm a little scatterbrained, so I tend to focus on an industry for a year or two, and then I switch. And I grab opportunities as they come up. And I can say, without a doubt, that the greatest foundation that I've had is going through the 6-figure program. It's applicable everywhere, everywhere. So let's talk about niche.
I just got this one. People are asking, like, is it possible to make $1,000 a month in 3 months? Is it possible to make $2,000 in 3 months? Yes, yeah. Those are all very reasonable numbers. What's funny is, you know, 10 years ago, everybody wanted, can I make 6 figures by next Tuesday? No, that's not going to happen. Unless you're Joshua Boswell, that's not going to happen. But $2,000 a month, 3 months from now, that is incredibly reasonable. $2,000, $3,000, even $4,000 a month, that's incredibly reasonable. I have someone asking about the medical industry, B2B, Alzheimer's to be specific. Is it possible to make $2,000? And they're already in that field? Yes. That's one project in B2B. That is one case study. It's a third of a white paper. You know, it's very, very reasonable. You would have to land one client and get one assignment to make $2,000, which is nothing, especially 3 months from now. And if you follow someone like Joshua who gives you the steps where you're not having to troll through our website and try to figure out the pieces, we have tons of free content, yes. However, as some of you are expressing, there's a lot there. It's like being a kid in the candy store. Joshua, it's kind of like someone who's read through all 6,000 pieces and then put them in the exact right order and giving you just the ones that you need, the 7 pieces, and making all the rest of it go away. So for those of you who just want, like, the, you know, just give me the button, like, let me just jump on there and get it done. That's Joshua. That's what he does with that. Okay, niche, choosing a niche. Can you just stress again or maybe explain a little bit about the benefits of a niche? It's, you know, we get this question a lot. I know it's counterintuitive. I don't want to choose a niche because then what if I limit my opportunities? You know, I want to cast the net as wide as possible, so I don't want to pick a niche. I've answered it, but I'd love to have your answer as well.
Okay. My answer is the analogy of a mansion and walking, you know, if you walk up to a mansion and it's got four or five major porticos and doors, like, how do you know which is the front door that you should enter? Well, you don't. But if there's a big mansion and there's one door, one portico, one drive, you know exactly what that, how to get into that mansion. Well, all good marketing, If you stop for just a minute and look around at different major companies that have good marketing, what you'll find is they have this one major ongoing conversation where they're focused on, you know, one specific major product, and they hammer on it again and again and again so that people know them by that. And it gives, so focusing on a niche does that for you. It allows people to know who you are. It allows them to decide whether they're going to hire you or not. It allows them to, it allows you to become an expert in that field, and experts always get paid more. So even if you get fewer clients, and this is the thing that I think is like, I think this is a bit of a mis, you know, conception that's out there with new writers. They're like, oh, I've got to get a ton of clients to make a lot of money in this industry. And that's just not true. If you get 3 to 10 really good clients, you can easily make a solid six-figure income. Because they, you know, a good client's going to have lots of projects, and they're going to pay a professional fee, and you know it doesn't take a lot. So you're not shotgunning this, guys. You just need a few, very small number of clients, and you're not going to be able to handle this anyway. So a niche allows you to focus there. It also allows you to know how to put your marketing materials together. All persuasion. You know, when we sit down to write a sales letter, we don't talk to 20 people. What do we say the most powerful word is in the English language? Like the word you, your name. And so when we sit down to write a persuasive sales letter, we talk to one specific person. We use the jargon that's in their head. We use the examples that they're familiar with. We pull their emotions. We talk to them very specifically. It applies for your business as well. It applies for your business as well. If you can just focus on somebody, have a one-on-one conversation with your industry, that's why it's so important to have a niche selected. Because, look, when I first started, I'll just tell this quick story. When I first started, I decided to focus, I use that term loosely, on technology industry, political industry, and the nonprofit industry. Now, those three people, those three groups have radically different conversations going on inside their head. So I found that every time I got on the phone or was writing an email, I was having to switch gears. It was like one day I was kissing babies and stealing lollipops, the politicians, and the other day I was like, you know, creating bits and bots. It was like, it drove me crazy. It was so nice when I finally got focused. So that's my answer. And the beautiful thing about it is, just like I have proven over the years, if you focus and just get them inside your world, then you can offer them lots of different services, and you can talk to lots of different markets, and there's lots of different opportunities. It doesn't seem like it makes sense, but it does. The more you focus, the more universally applicable you become. The more you focus on a niche, the more universally applicable you become, because you become an expert, and people like to, you know, I won't get into the psychology behind it, but they really like experts, and they pay better, et cetera. So that's my answer.
Excellent. This one is about, this next question is about making the leap, you know, transitioning from a job into the freelance life. Do you have any advice on that? My quick advice is to go for retainer style deals, things like social media, things like online newsletters. Take on projects where you have reliable income month after month. For those of you who don't know what retainers are, it's basically me as the client, I expect a certain project from you every single month, and you as the freelancer can expect from me a certain amount of money every single month. So I may pay you monthly $2,000 to write social media updates. You every month will write social media updates and send me an invoice for $2,000. It's an ongoing thing. Having retainer deals like that will help you make the bridge, because you'll know, how much do I actually have to make to pay the bills, right? It's not about replacing your whole salary out of the gate, because many of you are doing this in your spare time. So to safely make the transition, let's say you make $60,000 a year, but you only really need to make $25,000 to pay your bills. That's your first number. In the 2 hours that you're spending every day, the 3 hours, can you generate that amount of money? Because once you quit your job, now you're going to have a whole lot more time. So it's figure out what you need to make to safely make the transition. Set up retainer deals so that you'll know. Once I'm making $4,000 a month, I can jump. Great. I've got two $2,000 retainer deals. Time to go. It makes it much safer and much, it's a lot less scary. But Joshua, what other tips as far as like leaving the job and transitioning to the freelancer's life do you have for people who are in that position?
Yeah, my first comment would be in terms of the finances of it, that's exactly what you just said. I've got two other, maybe three other insights. The first one is remember that small, consistent steps are the key. So don't set aside, you know, if you're working a full-time job, the transition process happens through small, consistent steps. So you set aside on your calendar every day or every other day or whatever, like this 1 hour, 2 hour, 3 hour block where you're going to just turn everything else off and work on your writing business. Now, if you do that consistently, it's way better than trying to cram a ton of stuff into a Saturday afternoon. Now, sometimes you have to on a Saturday afternoon, but the small steps are more powerful and more important. The second thing is, to me, the number one criteria for making the leap is what I call the magic gumball machine. In other words, if you put in a certain amount of effort into your marketing plan, you know that that effort can produce a client for you. Like, I knew that I had arrived when I could pick up the phone, make a phone call, and go through these five steps, and at the end of those five steps, I could get a client. I knew that my system for getting clients was proven, and now all I had to do was to turn the heat up, right? So I put a quarter into the gumball machine and could get a dollar out, so to speak. And so so when my marketing method was proven, and I knew that I could, I had validated that I knew how to get clients, that is the point where you can say sayonara to your job, because now all you have to do is just rinse and repeat and accelerate the process. The one other thing that I would say about that is that before you make the leap, spend some time studying the entrepreneurial mind. And AWI has some resources on this, and you can find some other stuff. But what I mean by the entrepreneurial mind is that being at home in your office, working for yourself, is very different than walking to an office and having somebody else hand you projects. And as long as you're aware of those differences, then you're safe. You're okay. And I would just spend some time studying that and becoming aware of that mindset, that owner mentality before you made the leap.
Excellent. This one is talking about companies taking a chance on a newbie. So I'd like for you to talk about, you know, first steps. I'm brand new. What are the first steps that I take to actually land the client, and how do I handle that conversation? But before you do that, I want everyone on this call to remember that once you've taken the accelerated program for six-figure copywriting, you're not a newbie. That should never come up in conversation. You are a professional copywriter. Whether it's your first client or your 50th client, you are providing a valuable service to the company. So you're a professional. The dentist who works on their first patient does not tell that patient, hey, you're my first patient ever. I'm so excited. Let me drill your teeth. It doesn't work that way. They've gone to school. They've gotten the training. They've set up shop. They've opened their business. Someone has put their trust in them to take care of their teeth because of the way that they represented themselves. They need to do the job, right? They have the skills. That's what they went to school for. They don't tell all their new clients, hey, I'm so glad that you're my new patient. I get to apply what I've learned. So represent yourself as a professional. Get a website. You know what you're talking about. Choose a niche. It's all in the accelerated program. You'll walk through all of those steps, but just everyone get in that headspace that you're not a newbie. You won't be presenting yourself as a newbie. Are you going to get better? Absolutely. You're going to get better every single year. You're going to write copy today. You're going to write copy 3 years from now. You're going to think the copy today sucked. 3 years from now, it's even better. 6 years from now, that copy 3 years ago won't be as great anymore. You're just going to keep getting better because you keep on learning and you keep doing, and you'll get better. But let me get off my soapbox. Joshua, I'm a newbie, and I want to get started getting my first client. What are the first steps that I take?
I will not repeat the rant you just did because it's a big pet peeve of mine. I had a coaching student the other day say, oh, I got an opportunity to do this proposal, and in a conversation, you know, I told them, hey, I'm a brand new writer, and this is my first gig. And then they stopped talking to me. And I was like, why would you say that? Like, you've been through the accelerator program, you've been through this other niche program, you've been through my materials, like, you're not a newbie, you're a trained, fine-tuned professional, like, you got to quit talking about that. So they're not taking a chance on you, they're hiring a professional. Now, how do you get started with that? Well, the marketing directors and the social media directors, the owners, the people that are going to hire you out there in that space, they need to know that you're a professional, right? So you need to signal to them that you're a professional. And, you know, there's a number of different ways to do that. And I'm not pitching or trying to toot my own horn here, but that ability as a brand new writer to present yourself as a bona fide professional that can handle projects is what my one-day tour is all about, because it allows brand new writers to step in with great confidence into the arena and say, hey, I'm a writer, and this validates it. So, like, for example, I have what I call a comprehensive information packet, and I've dove into the psychology of what's the checklist inside of people that hire writers that validates that you're a professional. In other words, when they're looking for writers, what do they have to know in order to say, oh, yeah, that's a writer? What's that checklist? Well, I've dove into the psychology of that, and I found that checklist, and I've discovered how to build a website, a social media presence, and a information packet so that when you present these things to potential clients, they automatically go, oh, this is a professional. This person can get the job done. And you never need to talk about your recency of going through the program or how many paid clients you've had in the past. It's an irrelevant point. They know. And I'm not talking about beguiling people or lying to them. I'm talking about legitimately presenting yourself as a professional. And so that's, again, I wish I could give the whole seminar right now. We don't have time for that. But that's what we do through. That's one of the things that we do through the whole day together is we build out that packet. We give you the insights on the website, the social media presence, the conversations, the way you talk, the things that trigger inside of their mind to go, oh, this is a professional. I want to hire them. We walk through all that stuff.
Excellent. This one is about finding clients and, you know, finding jobs. So I've got my package. I've chosen my audience. I've picked my niche. Now what? So before you answer that, I wanted to quickly cover, I'll be coming back to you about how to find the right clients, how to find clients, and then, you know. But one thing I wanted to point out in that question, there is an important piece, and that's about finding clients. What we typically talk about at Andy Brown, what we show you, it's not about going to websites and looking for job ads. I was on a webinar with Steve Slongwaite last week in the B2B industry, and he said, you know, most B2B companies will not post an ad for B2B copywriters because they're going to get a bunch of junk. So what they do is they specifically go and look for copywriters who are specializing in their field. That is why having a website is super important. I'm actually going to be doing – I do a four-day series for those of you who have don't have a website, who want one. I do a four-day series where we literally walk you through writing the copy, putting together your site, all the way through actually taking it live, all of the technical stuff. You literally will just follow along and, you know, click your mouse to follow what you're seeing on the screen. And then we even review it and give you feedback on it. That's coming up, actually. You'll hear about that at the end of the month. But so you need a website. When we talk about being a professional and a freelance writer and someone who's providing professional services, we're not responding to job ads on websites. We're not responding to people looking for $5 article writers. Do those people exist? Are there people willing to do those jobs? Sure. But that's not what we're doing here. We're professionals who have professional services to other companies. You know, so again, get in that mindset. Don't go to job sites. You know, you're going to identify. You'll be much happier if you choose a niche that you want to be in and then identify, and this is where I'm coming to you, how do you actually identify the clients? But if you identify clients that you want to work for and then proactively go to them, because that way you're connecting with people that understand your value, you know, who value their own marketing, who understand the value of a writer. We always say copywriters have superpowers. It's true. You are in an incredibly noble profession. You can decide. You can help a company succeed. You can help a company grow. You contribute to the bottom line directly. It's such an incredible job and an important role in a business, and you want to work with companies who understand that and who value that and who value you and your expertise and are willing to pay you very well because they value. We pay more for things that we actually value. So you want to go after clients that you want to work for. So Joshua, having said that, how do you find good clients? Like, what is a good client? How do you know, okay, I picked my niche, it's in ABC, what do I do to actually find clients?
Yeah, so there are two
different.
Yeah, how do you identify them? So two different things here. One, you said we go out and we proactively contact them. I have always thought there are two different major ways to market yourself, and you need to use both of them as a professional. The first way is the direct response way, and that's exactly what you're talking about, Rebecca, where you go out and you find them. And I'll talk about how to do that in just a second. So you find them, you contact them, you make them aware of your services, you give them a proposal, you close the deal, et cetera. The other way is to position yourself as an expert in your given niche, in your given field, so that as they are going out there looking for a writer, they come across you and they contact you, right? Now, both of those are really, really important to have in your, you know, repertoire of marketing methods and marketing efforts. So how do you do that? Well, I have a sort of a formula that I've used, and that is a great client. So how do you identify a great client? A great client is one that already uses the kinds of writing that you want to have, that you're doing, right? The kind of projects you want to have. So if you're saying, well, okay, I'm writing long copy persuasive sales letters, and you go into Finger Hut, right? The old catalog where they sell all kinds of stuff. Well, all of their copy, all of it is short catalog copy. You know, they're not using your stuff, and you going to them and trying to persuade them to use your long copy sales skills is not going to be very effective. So first criteria, do they already use it? Remember, like attracts like. And so if they're already doing it, they're prone to do it. And I'll prove that to you. Who hires more writers? The local baker or shoe repair guy that doesn't even have a website, or AWAI? Well, AWAI hires more writers because they're already using a lot of writing and they need more writing. So like attracts like. So that's the first criteria. The second criteria is, do they pay for writers? And you can know this by knowing how close the writing, and I don't want to get too complicated here, but you can see how close their writing is to their revenue stream. So like Rebecca, you just said, you know, we can affect their bottom line. Well, some industries, the way that they sell is by people-to-people sales. So if you call up the company and say, hey, I want your widget or gadget, the first thing they do is hand you over to a live salesperson. That's not a good prospect because they're not using copy and they don't hire writers. Versus, you know, again, back to the example of Agora that publishes all these financial newsletters, they have a one-to-one ratio of writing to revenue. And the closer the writing is to the revenue, the better the prospect they are. So you can use these two criteria. Do they already use it? Do they hire writers because it's part of the revenue stream? You can use these criteria in any niche, in any industry, to filter out who's a great client, who's a mediocre client, and who's, you know, stay away from that kind of a client. So those are a couple of criteria that I use.
Very good. I've got one person asking specifically about what she should bring to the tour before she jumps off. She's coming, you know, do you want her to have already done all these seven steps? Where should she be to prepare before she even gets there?
Yeah, so when you register for the tour, I've got some pre-event homework assignments for you. You're going to read a couple of books. You're going to do that exercise that I just talked about where you're asking the 20 people what your strengths are. You're going to do a first flush at some of your niches and your strengths. And I don't expect you to come with a lot of stuff, honestly. I want you to do the homework assignments. And outside of that, I want you to come just ready to go to work. Because if you come with a whole lot of preconceived notions, I'm going to have to filter through those. And really what I want you to do is just come and say, okay, I'm ready to start to launch my writer's life. I'm ready to lay the foundation. And then we'll walk through everything together. I'll just take you step by step through the process.
Excellent. Find any. Oh my goodness, the questions, they're just coming in. I love it. Okay, let's see.
Amazing.
Gosh, there's a lot of So for those of you asking about the name of the series, there's three things I've talked about today. Louise, I see that you said, what is the name of the series you are talking about so we can look out for it? And Cam, if you can go ahead and put all three links in the chat, that would be really helpful. One is the Accelerated Program for Six-Figure Copywriting. That's your foundation. It has everything that you need. So those of you asking, like, will it do this, will it do that? What if I can't invest in anything else? Just take that one program. It will give you the skills, the foundation, and it will even get you started. So that when you get out there, you can start doing assignments. The ideal situation is then you have money that you can reinvest in your business, whether that's for more skills, whether that's for coaching, that kind of thing. So just that's the Accelerated Program for Six-Figure Copywriting. Then there is the Ultimate Copywriting Companion Series, which is, again, we take that material and we walk you through it over 10 weeks. Katie and I get on with you once a week. We bring an expert on as well. We literally go through it step by step to make sure that you're truly getting the fundamental things that you need to know about persuasion to be a really good copywriter. So if you can do that level of training, by all means, do it. The success stories that come out of it, it's fantastic. People love it. I mean, we've been doing it now for 7 years, I think, and we just keep doing it because the success stories are so high. The third thing we're talking about is the how to launch your writer's life in a day tour with Joshua Boswell. That's the 10-hour series. Oh, they are both 10 weeks and 10 hours. Yeah. But this is live. You will literally go to the city that's closest to you. We've picked 8 major cities across the U.S., trying to get as close to big concentrations of ADBI members as possible to make it as convenient as possible for everyone to get there, all major cities, so that, again, you're not having to fly all the way across the country, but you will literally sit in a room with Joshua for 10 hours, and it's small. The max on any location is 50 people, but usually we, you know, depending on the group, we've had groups as small as 20, because Joshua just said, you know, I really want to get in with this group. And so depending on where your location is, it could be as small as 20, but he literally sits with you for 10 hours and walks you through all of this stuff. It's not a, let me tell you theoretically what you should be doing. It is a get your pen out, let's start working on this and dig in. When you leave, you literally go home and start working as a copywriter. That's the goal of that tour. So there's three different things. And Cam, again, if you can post those in the chat, I would appreciate it. That way you guys can have quick links to get to these different series. All righty, Joshua. Let me see. There are so many questions. Dale,
awesome.
I'll just answer this really quick. I'm creating a small business newsletter, nearly completed. My clients will be small businesses within mini malls. There's more than one. Has this been done before? I'll be taking over the voice of individual client businesses. Never worry about has it been done before, for one, just because there's so much opportunity and you can always do it better. I don't know of anyone specifically who does it. You could put yourself in the shoes, and this is for everybody, put yourself in the shoes of the company. So I own a mini mall and I want to hire a copywriter to help me fill up the leases in the mini mall. What would I look for? What would I go to the internet and search for? Do the search just like they would to see what you find. If you find someone, look to see what they're doing and then do it better, right? You put together your website and you look at theirs and say, okay, this is what they're missing is this. And, you know, Joshua goes over a lot of this in the program too, but their marketing message is totally wrong, or they're marketing this way, but if they did it that way, and then just put up a website and make it even better. My guess is you're not going to find anybody. Again, with 6 million companies in B2B, it's very difficult to have copywriters who specialize in all of those different places, but that's a great way to start. Just if you're considering a niche, one, can you find a lot of companies that have really good websites? It's counterintuitive, but like Joshua said, you want people who value their marketing, who hire writers. If they have a really good website, there's a better chance that they spend money on marketing. So you want to find really good clients. And then, are there enough of them? And then look to see, is there other copywriters servicing this area, this niche?
Yep,
still lots
here.
Of niche questions. I wish there was like an easy button that I could just push and say, here's your niche, like a gumball machine or a fortune cookie that you could just open and your niche would be inside. What about, I mean, do you have any other advice? Like if someone is just racking their brain and can, I mean, besides coming to the tour, that would help, but, you know, they just can't get off that piece because it's the number one roadblock, I think, that writers just can't get past. And yet, Sherry Caldwell is in the chat. She's saying the minute she chose a niche, all of a sudden, it was like things just lined up for her and everything started happening. So I can't stress it enough. But do you have any advice? Like, what do you do if you just can't make a decision? Joshua Bobblehead that tells me, take a niche.
Take a niche. Just do it. You know, a lot of times people don't choose things because of fear. And it's that sense of, oh, if I choose this, I'm going to isolate myself. Or what if I choose this niche and then run down and then discover that it's the wrong path. And there's really no money there, et cetera, et cetera. And so, you know, we have these fears. And I have found that the fear is always dispelled by research and knowledge. So, you know, I had this one point where I had a contract. It fell through. I didn't have any other clients. I sat and was depressed for a month. And finally, Margie came to me and said, honey, you need to go research how many companies there are in that arena that have decent websites and use writing. And I went and searched, and it was like, you know, 120,000 companies. Oh, okay. Well, I can move forward with confidence there because one of them is going to help me. The other thing is, a lot of times we struggle making a niche because, you know, we lack the confidence that it's going to be the right thing. And here's the deal. You are a part, whether you come to the event, just by right of you being on this call, you're part of a great community. You've got access to one or more social media pages that AWI puts together. If you come to the event or you sign up for, you know, the live companion series or whatever, then you've got access to some mentors and some coaches that can help alleviate your fears and give you some navigation there. But I will say this one final thing, and that is, there does come a point in all this where if you're serious about it, you just need to make a decision and move forward. And move forward with something that makes sense, that's based on sound research, that, you know, you can see has clients in there. But you just make a decision, you move forward, and then you make it right. And you have enormous amount of resources to do that. You know, we're here for you, and we're focused on helping writers become successful. So you're in the right place. You've got the right group of people. You can move forward with a great deal of confidence.
Excellent. And I think one thing, or two things, actually. One, you know, we did a full webinar on picking a niche with Pam Foster a couple weeks ago. So I'll actually post the playback to that webinar on the page for the playback for this webinar. So you will receive an email early next week that has all of the information about this playback and everything else we've talked about. You'll get that. And we'll make sure that we include that webinar on niche as well. The other point I wanted to mention is just, I think Joshua said something very important, and that's about, you know, making decisions and taking action. That is going to be the defining factor whether you succeed. I hate to even use the word fail, but just we'll just say whether you succeed at this. If you are unable to take an action and or make a decision, it's going to be almost impossible for you to run a successful business because you're going to have more decisions coming. So use this niche thing. Just knock it down. Pick a niche and knock down this challenge. Not only will you be able to move forward, and, you know, we've said this, and if you just look at all of our case studies, everyone just says, once I picked a niche, things started changing for me. Commit to making a decision and starting to take action. Not only will it knock down that roadblock, but the confidence that you will feel from having done this, from having knocked this thing off your list, this gremlin, if you will, that gets bigger and bigger, the more attention that you give it, and the more you think you're going to make the wrong decision, your brain is feeding this gremlin, making it bigger than it is. It really, you cannot make a mistake. Just pick a niche and start moving forward, because even if 3 months down the road you hate the niche and you're like, you know what, I should have picked the other niche, that's okay, because at least you're 3 months now into building a business. It will be so much easier for you to transfer all of the knowledge of the last 3 months to the new niche. It'll take you a week or 2 weeks instead of 3 months to get to where you were the first time, because you'll have all that experience. You'll know your marketing methods. You'll have your marketing message. It's just tweaking it for the new audience. So you will still learn a lot. But if you don't pick a niche, 3 months from now, you genuinely are still back at step one. You could have been 3 months down the path. So just do it. If everyone on this phone can just commit to letting this gremlin go away, knock it off as a block, check it off your list, and just make a decision, I think you'll be surprised at how much easier and how faster the rest of the stuff comes. One thing I also wanted to note, on the tour, we had closed out the early bird discount this week. But for this group, since we're talking about it so much, it's not going to, we'll do another $200 off, Joshua, like for a week or so. Is that fair?
Great. Yeah, it's great.
Okay.
You bet.
So I'll
I just want him to
Amy.
Be there. I want him to succeed.
Well, and I think some people are saying they didn't know about it until now. So we'll do $200 off. I will get our marketing team to fix the promo to make sure that you can get that discount. Or, of course, if you call member services at 866-879-2924, they will be able to give it to you now. Oh, and actually, how cute. Marketing is actually online right now, and they just said they already have a link set up, and they can just go ahead and they've flipped the discount on. So it's Cam, if you can put this in the chat, it's awaionline.com/launchtour2016. So launchtour2016, awaionline.com/launchtour2016. That way you can get the discount. I think if you go through the main site, it might not be there, but if you go through that link, you'll definitely get the discount.
So,
all right, other questions? Wait, go ahead.
Can I just, let me just slip one thing in here really quick. Two things to remember. One is, on this whole niche question, one is that success is all about becoming somebody who is successful. I don't want to get into metaphysics or woo-woo stuff or anything like that, but you know, the big hurdle here, it's like, you know, when Sir Hillary was climbing Mount Everest, the story is told that he went up there and they made three attempts and he got beaten down every time. And he finally, you know, in frustration, shook his fist at the mountain. He said, you know, you beat us once, you beat us twice, but you can't beat us forever because we can grow and you cannot. And, you know, there are some fears, there's some roadblocks, there's some challenges. But you can grow through those. You become somebody different, somebody that is a successful writer. But the only way to do that is to get started. And so picking your niche is a lot about getting started. The other thing is, this will sound like I'm contradicting myself, but the other thing here is when you start, there are lots of different ways. I mean, you can just go out there and just get started and just start throwing mud on the wall. And eventually you definitely will become successful. Something will stick. Or you can take advantage of resources like what we've been talking about today, and you can find things that are already proven to be high leverage, highly effective ways to get started, to move forward, to find clients, to choose a niche. There are effective systems in doing that, and so you have an opportunity to choose the most effective one so that right out of the gate, instead of just throwing mud on the wall, you're building something beautiful, and you're doing it consciously, and you're doing it systematically and purposefully, and you know that everything that you do, every step you take, everything that you put into place is for sure moving you closer toward your ultimate goals. So, you know, motion is the thing that defines that. All right, so I interrupted your question. Go ahead.
I forgot where I was.
Okay,
but I did type the URL. I mean, I know I'm in my office. I know where I am, but I forgot where I was as far as the question goes. So I'll just take another one. Catherine says she wants to know about case studies. I guess I had mentioned that. What are they? Who uses them? Can you make a living? I oftentimes, just so you guys know, if I post a link to our catalog in the Q&A, the reason is I'm not sending you to a promotion to get you to buy something. Our sales letters, when we write about an opportunity, when AWAI researches an opportunity, when we recommend an opportunity, we do an extensive amount of research on what the job is, what it looks like, who the clients are, how they get, how much they're paying, and we talk to experts who are doing it. So all of our teachers are not just people who read books and are now teaching, but they're genuinely in the industry. Like Steve Fawnwhite is a working copywriter. His majority of his income is from clients where he's writing B2B copy. So he's teaching. He's a great teacher, but he's also an expert working. Joshua is a working copywriter. He not only does he build his business, has he built his business, but he's also helping. He's been working for almost 10 years now, helping other companies, other students build their businesses. So he understands this getting clients part. He's still bringing on new clients every single month. He's still living it. He's doing it. So when I send you to a sales promotion, the reason I'm doing it is 80% of all of our sales letters are about the opportunity. So we've done the research. It just saves you some time. So for case studies, I would recommend going over to our catalog and looking at our case study sales letter. You will learn all about what a case study is, how they're used, who hires for them, how much, you know, how long they take, how much you can expect to make. So definitely go over there. But I still will answer the question. A case study is usually a success story. Customer ABC used the product and is experiencing this kind of success. They're great because they're fast. They'll take you about 5 to 6 hours to write. You get to talk to people who are super excited to share their story about the company's product or service. And then you write these reports together. You can make a living just writing case studies. They're used to educate future customers about, you know, it's the ultimate proof piece. It's not me saying ADBI's copywriting program is awesome. It's these other people who have used it. It's their proof. Let them tell you. If you go to ADBI's website, we actually have case studies. It's /case-studies. And you will see Joshua Boswell's case study is in there. We hired a professional case study writer to write those. Her name is Casey Hibbard, and she does nothing but write case studies. She is a very successful B2B copywriter, and all she does is write these success stories. So if you like to talk to people, you know, you like that style of, you know, getting the story and helping companies share their awesome stories with the world, case studies is definitely a great opportunity. Let's see what else. I've asked Kim, if you can get in there and prioritize some of these questions, that would definitely help. Stephanie says, Rebecca, I'm in the accelerated program now, and I'm also starting Copywriting 2.0. What I need next is that website. When are you doing your program? Oh, well, thank you, Stephanie. Putting up a website in 4 days, and is it a companion series live webinar type? Yes. So I'm actually going to start it again in April, and I think Denise is on. I'm going to do it earlier in April. We're thinking later in April, but I'm going to move it up to like the week of April 11th. Not final, but I'll send information out about that. We will be bringing people in. We'll be allowing registrations next week. And so look out for that. I'll also include a link with this group. So for those of you who want to do website, who want me to help you build your website, I only do it once a year. You can access the recordings other times, but if you want to work with me actually on your website, then you'll go through the live training with me. That'll be offered at the end of this month. But you know what, actually, Cam, if we can just put a link on the playback page, that would be great just so people can get to it, and maybe Amy can do a discount. Whatever the discount's gonna be, if she could open it up for this group early, that way they can grab their spots, I'd appreciate that. But yes, we walk you through. You will literally join me for 1 hour. Well, I'll teach for 1 hour over 4 days. So it'll be like Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, 1 hour. We'll go through an element. The first day is all about good websites, bad websites, and why they're good and why they're bad, so that you know what you're trying to work towards. The second day is all about, and it helps if you've chosen a niche, so I recommend that, but it's all about your copy. What are we going to include on your website? How are you going to write it? What are the things that sell you both? I address not having samples, not having testimonials. Don't worry about any of that stuff. We tackle it all. Day three, we make some of your technical decisions, and I teach this part, so I won't allow any tech speak, so if you're not technically inclined like me, don't even worry about it. I will make sure that it's very, very easy. I even have an easy path where I've made all the decisions for you. We talk about it would be great if you could, somebody could just pick your niche for you. I literally make all your decisions for you on day three if you want. I show you how to make the decisions, but if you don't want to make them, I make them all for you. And then on day four, we literally go through putting up your website step by step by step. You'll watch me do it, and then you will go and do it on your own. You'll have the video, so you can start it, stop it. You'll have the slides, so you can do it, you know, flip a slide one at a time. And we literally, it's like 87 slides, but we take you step by step, like click this button, drag this over here, type this word into this box, step by step. So we will be doing it live in April, and we'll make sure that there's a link on the playback page. And that also comes with a critique. So once you're done, we'll actually go, our team will go in and look at your website and tell you how to make it even better. So that way you know that it's professional quality that you should be sending to clients. Tony says, I want to go into B2B when I finish the companion course. With limited resources, I'm debating whether to buy Steve's course while it is on sale or Rebecca's website course. they're really not the same. So if you're going into B2B, I would recommend taking Steve's B2B course. If you have to choose one or the other, you're going to need a website, but start with Steve's course, because if you don't have the skills, it really doesn't matter if you put up a website, right? His program is professional grade training. It is everything that you need to get ready and working as a B2B copywriter. And he does cover, he won't show you the technical stuff, but he does cover what to put on your website. He is a big believer that the B2B website is an important part of your marketing toolkit. It's almost like a test. Marketers look at your website to make sure, can you market yourself? Because if you can't market yourself, you are in essence doing B2B marketing, because you are a professional providing a professional service to another business. You're not selling to consumers. So that is B2B marketing. So they will look at your website, and he basically goes through and gives you the test results, like, or the test answers, saying, make sure you have this, make sure you do that. So if you had to choose between the two, I would definitely say take Steve's program. And I have, let me just post this link. I'm getting a couple questions about people who have called into member services. If you are leaving a message, I would love to know that. If you left a message and didn't get a response, if you can email me, there might be a weird glitch. So try them again. The phone number is on the page right now, 866-879-2924. And if for some reason you don't get through or you leave a message, if you would do me a favor and email me at askrebecca@awaionline.com, I want to know about it, and I will definitely try to figure out what's going on. And at least then I know what your question is, and I can make sure that you get the answer. Christopher, I don't know much about military. Joshua, do you have any experience with military? Christopher wants to know, how about the military? I assume they need people to write for them. That would be where my niche lies. And I'm guessing he has military experience. So if you can talk about that, as well as what else maybe you would apply to.
You know, I don't have a lot of experience with military stuff. I know that the bidding process is very different. You know, it is a bidding system where projects come up, so it's a little bit different than going out into the private sector. And I just don't know it. I just don't know enough to really answer that question. Sorry.
The only thing I would say, so you can, and I'm guessing you have military experience. It doesn't necessarily have to be that you write for the military. I mean, there. What experience did you have in the military? Military professionals have, like, something that, you know, non-military professionals don't have, and that is, well, I guess other people do too, but you come out with experience. You came out doing something, and there is likely a B2B industry with whatever it was that you were doing. So whether you are with weapons or flying or whatever, computers, anything that you did, communications, whether or not that company sells to military, doesn't matter. You have experience in that thing that you did. So I would start there. Pick a niche in the B2B industry that matches the thing that you did in the military. And likely there's a really good opportunity for you there. I will say, too, that people, you know, I would put that on my website, that former military, what area you were in, because I think that's definitely something that can help you in self-promotion.
Yeah. And I want to jump on this particular point really quick, and that is a lot of times people come from – you know, lots of different various backgrounds and skills and abilities and corporate environments and whatever. And, you know, sometimes they're so, on occasion, people are really frustrated with their current job, income, employment, career situation, and they just want to, they want to do something different. Or they don't see how what they've been doing is valuable in this new world of writing. And I can tell you this. Every single one of you on this call has a massive gold mine reserve of past experience that can be utilized and mined and capitalized on moving into the writing world. Your experience, your insights, your skills, whatever, military, whatever the background is, you know, with the right approach and the right perspective, you can leverage that to be a huge asset for moving forward and accelerating your success as a writer. So, you know, don't throw the baby out with the bathwater, so to speak. Recognize that what you've done in your life so far has legitimate, significant value. It's just a matter of capitalizing on it and using it to create value for your clients. And, yes,
awesome.
I have the process for that. But, yes, it's there.
Two quick questions that I'll just knock off. Who do you sell to at a company when you're selling your services? Usually it's a marketing director, a creative director, a marketing manager. somebody in marketing. If it's a very small company, it might just be the business owner. If worst comes to worst, that's, you know, that's who you go to. You can always just call them and say, hey, who in your company hires copywriters? This is actually a tip that Nick Usborne always gives. Who in your company hires the copywriters? And then you get that name from the receptionist or whoever you got to. So they would say Rebecca Matter. And then you hang up and then you call that person or you email that person. Hey, Rebecca Matter, my name is so-and-so. You know, Katie recommended that I call you. She said that you hire copywriters. Well, now you have this like weird endorsement that it's an implied endorsement, like somebody genuinely vetted you and thought you would be a good candidate. So just call and find out who hires the copywriters. I see a question about, and I think Katie did answer it, as far as picking a niche. Can you do B2C and B2B? So she was recommending that you do pick one or the other. To start, for sure, I agree. But I just wanted to give the example for those of you who aren't necessarily seeing it both sides. Many companies will do both. They will have a B2C, so business to consumer, and they will also have business to business. An example I use is a company called Ole Henriksen. It's a skincare line. They have a website, and they sell directly to consumers. So they have their own marketing, their own emails, their own social media, their own websites. They have a whole consumer line where they are trying to sell to me specifically. They also sell to companies like Sephora and spas and things like that. So the B2C side is all the web copy and things that they send to me. The B2B side is all that same content, but directed at companies who will be selling their products on their behalf. So you can do both sides. It is easier to start with one because the messaging will be different. But if you love the product and you're like, I love this company, I want to do as much as possible, once you exhaust one side, you might decide to go to the other side. All right, guys, there are a ton of questions, and we've been on for an hour and 33 minutes. So we're going to kind of come into the home stretch here. There are so many questions. I hate choosing these final questions. We've talked a lot about these niches. This question is about websites. If your website is focusing on writing for children, how can I incorporate B2B? You shouldn't. You should have a totally different website. Right. B2B marketer does not want to see anything that isn't related to their industry and your writing. Nope. So definitely don't do that. I have a strong background in entertainment. I see, Matt, you just came back. I have a strong background in entertainment and marketing for various companies. Any idea where those two might overlap? You could do B2B companies that sell to entertainment. So it depends if you're B2B, B2C. You could work for companies that market entertainment options. I mean, this is me literally just off the top of my head. There are entertainment companies. But again, B2B, so it would be, you know, equipment and sound systems and the boards and organization and staffing services and food and beverage. I mean, it could really be anything. It's just a matter of figuring out who the companies are. Sasha, do you have anything on that?
No, it's lots of niche questions. You know, when you have that kind of background and that experience, you just go out there and start. And I always suggest people, when they're researching this, they what I call follow the money. In other words, you sit down, you look at a product. So there's a speaker, you know, or a subwoofer or a control board, and you think, okay, how does that product get into the hands of the consumer, and who pays for it? How does it happen? Or the business that buys it, or whatever. And you start following back, and what has to happen in that process. So you look at all the money, all the commerce, all the business that goes around on it, and usually every step of the process in selling, moving, marketing, producing a given product or service has this massive pool of writing attached to it in one form or another, whether it's white papers or case studies or emails or social media or whatever it is. And pretty soon you can see, oh, my gosh, like this little bit of experience that I had before opens up an entire universe of writing opportunities. It's really cool. So you just, you know, that old expression, you follow the money. How is that product moving? How is that service moving? Who's buying? Who's selling? How does it get manufactured? You start asking yourselves, be that curious detective, and you'll find, oh, my goodness, there's so much opportunity here. It's mind-boggling.
Okay. I think we are – some comments about the military. Sue is asking if people would be offended if we emailed them to ask questions about their particular field. it's not that they would be offended, but remember, they're professionals working. You know, we hire them for an hour and a half, 2 hours to answer all of the questions, that the main questions. So I would definitely recommend listening to the webinars, looking at the Q&A chat, reading all that stuff first. If you ask a question that they've already answered, that would be frustrating, because that's not, they're not getting paid for that stuff. They're just, you know, they're there to be very helpful. So I wouldn't recommend it unless there's something that's very specific that we haven't already covered in one of these webinars. That being said, if you have a question, you could always come out, reach out to me, and I can tell you, either it's here in this thing, we covered this page, here's where you go, or I will forward it for you if I feel like it's something that, you know, is new that we haven't covered elsewhere. So let's do that instead. All right, guys, I think we are, oh my gosh, there's just like a dozen new questions popped up.
So
yes,
funny.
We are going to have to cut this, but we will do another Inside AWAI in the next couple of weeks. A lot of you are asking specific niche questions. Definitely listen to the niche webinar. We answered so many there. For those of you interested in B2B, we answered so many in the B2B webinar, and we have playbacks for all of these things. So just email member services. We'll include everything in the follow-up email for this session. Sue says, I signed up for Secrets of Writing High-Performance B2B Copy. Isn't that supposed to include setting up a website? Yes, as far as the content goes. Again, he will give you all of the answers of what you need to include on your website. As far as the technical stuff goes, actually putting up the site, it's not in there. That's an actual technical program that we walk you through step by step, which you can have somebody else do, or it's out there. I mean, you could find someone else to help you with that, but if you want my help putting it up, that is something separate. Lots of just really sweet things. In all my writings, I have AWAI to thank. Many blessings. Thanks again. This is a great webinar. Really appreciate, lots of praise, Joshua, and lots of appreciation for you.
Cool.
Awesome. All right, guys, I'm going to have to call this. Joshua, thank you so much, especially being sick, but great information, great insights. Everybody is saying how motivating you are and just really great information. So thank you.
Well, thank you. I absolutely love doing it. So thanks for having me on. I appreciate it. And hopefully, I get to meet some of the people that were on today at one of my events. I love, you know, I thrive off of live environments. So I really do. I love shaking hands and looking eyes and getting to know people. So hopefully there's an opportunity to meet more and more writers. I love doing it. So thanks, guys.
Excellent. All right, everyone. Thank you so much. And thank you, Katie, being in this Q&A. I appreciate that as well. And for Denise and Cam and everyone who joined us today.
My pleasure. Hi, everybody. Bye.
Bye, everyone.
Bye. Yep, bye.